let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. The book Ubuntu, Unconditional Love by Anita Schattenberg, aims to illustrate the futility of politically motivated violence and the difficulties rich and poor citizens face when thrust together to create a new beginning. Ubuntu means humaneness and, in a sense, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Politically motivated violence and greed do not measure up to those ideas. Set in South Africa from late 1989 to early 1993, Anita says the contrast between humaneness on the one hand and political violence on the other inspired her to write the book. She was born in Germany but became an Australian citizen in 1964. Her fascination with South Africa began in her teens, visiting the country several times both during and after apartheid. A Bachelor of Arts degree, majoring in politics and journalism, now enjoying her love for the sea from her residence on King Island, Anita Schattenberg, author of Ubuntu, Unconditional Love, coming to us via Skype from Australia, our guest on This Week in America. Anita, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted.
It is our pleasure to have you here, and I might mention the book was an award winner and finalist for the Book Excellence Awards, a global celebration of literacy excellence. And Anita, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
We are ready to talk tonight. So much to talk about. The time is going to go by very quickly. I want to go back to the fascination that you had with South Africa. I mentioned in the beginning that started when you were a teenager. What was it that drew you to South Africa at that time?
Well, it is political violence. That has been my bugbear, I think, ever since my late teens. And I just do not see how people can disagree and be so disagreeable with it. And it doesn't seem to matter where in the world political violence occurs. It is quite an evil. If it's left to go unchecked, it will topple governments and ruin economies. I mean, it's just terrible, and I could never stomach it. So I was forever listening to the news as to what was happening in South Africa, because that seemed to be where the main focus was at the time when I was in my teens. And eventually, getting a little bit older and a little bit more curious about the world in general, I finished up traveling to South Africa. What confronted me there was apartheid was bad.
Yes.
And from then on, the interest really built up. It was more or less an on and off thing. You know, you're a teenager, and then you get married, and then you have kids, and some of these interests do go on the back burner for a little while, but they keep coming back because, well, political violence happens all over the world and it just doesn't decrease. It's still there.
And when you think it is decreasing, maybe in an area it flares up later, or it flares up in another part of the world, you're right. It's something that sort of seems to be ongoing, and we'll talk about some of the reasons that happens during the course of the program tonight. Tell me about the title, the meaning of the significance of the title.
The title, Ubuntu, yes, it means, like you earlier said, humaneness. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's a wonderful life philosophy if it's followed to the letter. But, of course, we're all humans, so it never is. And particularly, I find in South Africa, it is really very unfortunate situation.
You've looked into the situation in South Africa for several decades. As I mentioned, you visited there on several occasions as well. Have you seen any transformation? Do you feel like progress is being made?
Well, I thought it was back in 2004, 2005. I thought they were really getting somewhere. But in the meantime, that whole their resolve to be good citizens has more or less collapsed, especially, unfortunately, in the later years with the Zuma government. It just all went back to the old ways. Corruption and political violence tend to go hand in hand, too. So,
in writing the book, how much of this is fiction? How much of this is fact? It seems like a blend that you have in the book.
It is a blend. In my author's note at the back of the book, you've probably seen it.
Yes.
Let me see. I'm trying to turn these pages here. Here we are. This is more or less what I said in the back of my book, and I think your listeners may find it interesting as well. None of the key characters in this story exist in true life, nor do their businesses and pursuits. Occasionally, though, you may stumble across a name you recognize, or you may identify a string of facts tying this parcel of fiction together. And that is when I have included a list of background reading. So if anyone who reads this book wishes to follow up the facts and what really happened, there's plenty of material at the back of the book where they can get information from. But I intended to make this book a work of fiction, probably because fiction, I'm told, is just as effective in getting a message across to society as a whole as what nonfiction is. And I try to make it light in a lot of ways so that people will read it without getting bored stiff, which some people would with political facts.
Yes.
And to get the message across to as wide a readership as possible, you have to be pretty much inclusive and flexible.
Well, you've got a little bit of everything in there as well. You've got romance and adventure in addition to the main topic of the book. We're talking about Ubuntu, Unconditional Love. Anita Schattenberg is our guest on the program, coming to us via Skype from Australia. The book you'll find, of course, at Amazon, bookventure.com, in their bookstore. You can link on, get all the information on the book, and be able to order the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get all of the information there. Let's talk about several of the main characters in the book. Really fascinating people. Talk about the main characters.
Well, the main character is a Zulu doctor. He was a lucky chap. He won a scholarship to complete his studies in America and did very well there. Comes back to South Africa and finds pretty much everything in turmoil due to the people's war and goodness knows what. He's off on his way to a reunion of medical students, but he doesn't get there because he's confronted with the horrible sight of a school bus being attacked by random terrorists. And this sets him on a path where he feels that he must help those innocent children. I mean, the children can't help it.
Yes.
They don't know what's going on. So he feels that he must help these children. But the way he goes about it is not quite straightforward. It's perhaps not the thing that an upstanding citizen would do. And that's where he runs into trouble. Along the way, and as part of trying to fix the trouble, he runs into a lady called Anna. Anna is the wife of a Johannesburg stockbroker. And she is very much like him in that respect, that she wants to help. She wants to help this society get back on its feet. Now, she's on her way out to lunch, and she strolls like women do, looking at shop windows, etc., etc. And this young ruffian snatches her shoulder bag. But she's a quick one. She gets it back, and she grabs this chap, or tries to, and talks to the kids. Now, what are you guys doing? You should be at school. And, of course, they all run away, and she doesn't get very much information out of them, but enough information to ring the headmaster and say, look, you know, your kids are out in the CBD when they should be at school. And she meets the headmaster and says, well, look, you know, we have to teach these kids something that will, you know, make them useful citizens, to prepare them for their entry into the workforce. They have to have something constructive to do. And she suggests, why don't we have computer classes? And the headmaster just about laughs his head on and says, have a computer class? Do you think the government's going to buy computers for my school? I haven't got a single white pupil in it. But in the end, she says, no, you don't rely on the government. It's going to be me and my husband's company who will buy the premises, will buy the equipment, and you just appoint the teacher. And that's how it all happens eventually. I don't want to give too much of the book story away.
I was going to say, yeah, you're probably getting pretty close, but it gives us some idea of the storyline and the people that are involved in the story. The book is Ubuntu, Unconditional Love. Anita Schattenberg is the author and our guest on This Week in America. You can link on to information on the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I know someone with a Freedom Party there, a prince. You've had some private communication with. Talk about that and how, if that's going to be a positive, do you think, to maybe sometime changing this whole situation there?
Prince Buthelezi tries his level best to change the situation. Unfortunately, he's always misunderstood, and there is so much competition among the political parties, and particularly the ANC seems to have this attitude, if you're not for them, you must be against them. Therefore, you have to go. You have to be got rid of. It's as simple as that. And they use fair means or foul. It doesn't matter. Rivals will not be tolerated. And that is where Prince Buthelezi runs into problems, because they won't tolerate him. And the strangest thing about it is that the ANC initially asked him to take over the job as chief minister. And the idea was that he should more or less infiltrate the government, see how they're going and what they have in mind, and work for the ANC at home. Yes, and in the end he proved so successful at doing this that they ran scared of him. Because, well, at the time the ANC was banned, they were in exile, so were a couple of other groups. And they needed someone to do their work at home. But Prince Buthelezi became so successful that members flocked to his party, which at that stage wasn't a political party at all. It was a cultural gathering. And because Prince Buthelezi thought, well, a cultural group cannot be banned as easily as a political party. So he kept it as a cultural group, which a lot of people didn't understand his reasoning behind that either. And he had more and more and more membership. People were flocking to his organization. And the ANC sort of stopped short and said, hey, he's getting too popular. We have to do something about him. And that more or less started a program of vilification against him, because he had his success had to be talked down at all costs. And if talking down wasn't going to do the trick, well, assassinations might. And that's basically why he is in the dilemma he's in at the moment, because so much of that propaganda warfare that raged against him is still current. People still believe it. Old mindsets are so hard to shift.
Yes. It's a chilling story, and there is so much to grasp in the book, Ubuntu, by our guest Anita Schattenberg. Time is going by too quickly. A couple minutes left in the program. South Africa is back in the news again. Tell me what you think the status
is. Really, for the right reasons.
Yes, yes. Tell me where you think things stand, and if you're seeing any progress, and the kind of reaction you're getting to the book. As you shine a spotlight on this, I think people around the world are going to go, wait a minute, that's still continuing over there? We thought maybe things were better.
Well, we're all hoping for progress. The new president, Cyril Ramaphosa, he's trying his level best, but he too has so much pressure against him. Well, you know, with your own setup in America, you may be in the top job, but you're not the only person there, and you're not the only person who has all the say. And I think the same is with Cyril Ramaphosa. He is not the one who has all the say. He likes to steer the ship, but there are others who say, well, you know, let's go left or let's go right, whichever way.
Yes.
So it remains to be seen. He hasn't been in the job for long. You have to give him a fair chance. But yes, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm hoping that he will be able to go back to the level of, say, Thabo Mbeki, when he was president.
Yes.
If he can get society back to that level, we have a hope.
What kind of reaction are you getting to the book?
Most people seem to like it. I thought it had passed its litmus test when I gave it to a lady I know who was born in South Africa. Gave it to her to read, and she was delighted with it. And I thought, well, okay, fine. This sounds hopeful.
Yes.
Prince Buthelezi has a copy, of course, and he's a busy man. I don't know for sure whether he's read the whole thing through as yet.
Well, it's an important book that has an important message, and it's told in such a way that it is an entertaining book as well. An award-winning book, award winner, finalist for the Book Excellence Award, a global celebration of literary excellence. So congratulations again on that. The book is receiving its accolades worldwide, and hopefully will assist it in making a difference. A couple minutes left here, a minute or so actually. What's this experience been like for you? You followed South Africa as a teenager. You did the research, you put the book together, you've been receiving awards for the book, excellent reviews. What's this been like for you?
Amazing. That's all I can say. Amazing.
Yes.
I had this idea that I really, really wanted to get the Prince Buthelezi's political party on the map. I wanted people to approach it open-mindedly and try to divorce themselves from all the negative propaganda that's going on and just see it in a new light. And I thought, well, the only way I can do it is by making an entertaining story and waking people up to the fact that, you know, perhaps there are other ways of doing things. How much I've succeeded, well, I don't know. I'm only one person.
Well, sometimes it starts with one person and it goes on from there. And one person has been very effective in getting that message out there. Good use of your background in politics and journalism, both of those subject areas coming in play for the book. The book is doing very well internationally. Ubuntu is the name. That's Ubuntu, Unconditional Love. Anita Schattenberg is the author. You'll find the book at Amazon, of course, Amazon.com, BookVenture.com, and the bookstore. And you can link on directly to get that information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Anita, thank you so much for joining us on the program from Australia, where it's summertime over there. So enjoy the rest of summer as we dig snow out here for the next couple of months. Thank you for being with us on the program.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
It has been our pleasure. Once again, the name of the book is Ubuntu, Unconditional Love. Anita Schattenberg, the author and our guest. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.